This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Part of what makes us such a great nation is our instinct to help people who are in desperate trouble. We'll talk a little bit about what help to Israel means right now. Does it have anything to do with the aircraft carrier battle group that is making its way to the eastern Mediterranean? We'll be speaking with that about that with U.S. Representative Adam Smith, who is the ranking Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee, representing Southern King County and part of Pierce County in our Congress of the United States. But first, we have a great privilege of having Peter Baker join us from the New York Times. He is the chief White House correspondent for the New York Times, covering President Biden and his administration. His previous book about the Trump administration, first 2 years of that administration, has just been released in paperback. It is called The Divider, and information about Peter's book is posted on our website at michaelmedved.com. First of all, this Middle East story has a great direct impact, does it not, Peter, on what Biden had seemed to hope for as the greatest achievement of his first term, which was the idea of some kind of settlement of mutual recognition by Israel and Saudi Arabia. Where do we stand as far as that's concerned right now?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right about that. First of all, thank you for having me. Appreciate it. I love being on your show. But you're right. This was something that President Biden wanted to do. He wanted to reinvent the Middle East, in effect, for a new era, kind of put the old conflicts behind us and find a way to bring Saudi Arabia and Israel together, which would have really transformed, I think, the dynamics of that region, would have created more of a solid alignment against Iran. It would have strengthen the relationship between Saudi Arabia and the United States. It would have really put some of the old enmities in the past, except that the past isn't over yet, right? The old Middle East is still there and still rearing its head, and we see that in these last few days. The idea that there could be a deal right now normalizing relations between Israel and Saudi Arabia feels pretty fanciful given what's happening on the ground. That's, at the very least, much more complicated today, if not impossible to imagine any time in the near future.
I know there are some policy experts who believe that, Saudi Arabia has to be watching what has occurred the last couple of days, and is it not possible that they may feel impelled by Iran's involvement and the level of barbarity and brutality here, that they may be impelled actually to join the other side, which includes, of course, in Biden's plan, an agreement, a mutual defense agreement between America and the Saudis?
Yeah, no question that the Saudis are very, they are enemies of Iran, right? And we believe, at least, that Iran, if not directly involved in this attack, certainly has been a sponsor of Hamas for many, many years. So the Saudis are looking at this presumably as a play by Iran to disrupt what's been going on, these negotiations brokered by the Biden administration. And I don't think they have any love for Hamas in Saudi Arabia. They don't particularly, the MBS, the Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, not one of those who's sort of always been wrapped up in the Palestinian cause the way older generations have been. And so I don't think that he necessarily will say, I'm not going to ever do a deal with Israel. But it makes it really, really hard at the moment. It depends on how far Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, feels like he has to go to, A, retaliate, and, B, to get those hostages out of there. And so, you know, if this goes on for days, weeks, months, it just becomes that much more complicated.
No, it's already tremendously complicated and nightmarish. And speaking of nightmarish, you had a piece today, and as a dog lover, I've got to tell you, I particularly enjoyed it. You have a piece about the tremendous controversy surrounding the now estranged, I guess is what you could say, and separated a presidential pooch, a commander
right.
who just had this unfortunate habit of biting Secret Service men. And I was stunned to read. I didn't realize we've had other presidents who had problems with dogs that would tend to attack people, not the president himself, but other people around the president. Were you surprised to find out that there's that melancholy history?
Yeah, it's a little of an undiplomatic history. You wouldn't expect that Teddy Roosevelt's dog, Pete, which, speaking as a Pete, is disturbing, would nip at the heels of the French ambassador. That got him banished to Sagamore Hill, Teddy Roosevelt's home up in New York. FDR had a dog that, not Fala, who everybody remembers, the Scottish Terrier, but another dog who bit at the pants legs of the British Prime Minister, and so that one got set off as well. So yeah,
it wasn't Churchill. It was the Prime Minister before
Churchill. I don't know. Yeah, Churchill's kind of a bulldog himself. I don't know that he would have put up with it. But you're right. It was prior to Churchill. But I think it's there is a little bit of a history there. Now that you don't want it, if you're president, to have your dog fight the Secret Service guys. These are guys who promise to take a bullet for you, right? You want them to be as predisposed to you as possible. But so it's been a sort of tension, I think, in this White House. The president obviously isn't happy that the commander of the dog was doing that, but it did take him a while to finally decide to take action. I mean, there have been reports of as many as 2 to 3 dozen instance of aggressive behavior, and that's a lot, right? If you're the Secret Service, they're not happy about that.
No, and I'm sure Jill and Joe Biden aren't happy about it. You've been able to observe the president up close, personal. You're around him a lot as the chief White House correspondent for The Times. Do you think that the talk about his dementia, his losing his cognitive ability, is exaggerated by his political opponents?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, at least from my observations, I have not seen what I would say is I'm not an expert, but what I see and what you hear from people who work with him every day is that he's still sharp, that he may not, obviously he's older than he was. He's not, you know, at the same level he was 10 years ago, who of us is, I suppose, but that mentally he's processing information. He's making rational decisions that within the context of what he would have done, say, 10 years ago when he was younger. He's asked sharp questions. All those kinds of things. But where he obviously is having trouble certainly is the physical presentation, right? That he shuffles when he walks and he speaks with a low voice and he does confuse things or get, forget names and so forth. Now he usually catches himself when he does that. Not always, but usually. And, you know, it doesn't come off well in public. So I think that's one of the things that's fueling the concern of a lot of those, including Democrats, worrying that he is getting older. Again, I think that, you know, his political opponents are exaggerating or taking it even further because they obviously have an interest in doing so. But that doesn't mean that there isn't some obvious, you know, issues with age that a lot of Americans are trying to process.
And meanwhile, your colleague at the Times, David Brooks, has a big piece about Biden maybe not running again. Your guess, in just a moment left to us, is he going to be a candidate and to be the Democratic nominee?
I currently anticipated, you know, some sort of a physical or health change. Yes, he's planning to run. There's no part of him that is rethinking it, as far as we can tell, and there's nobody on the horizon who would manage to change his mind, as far as I can tell.
And that, especially not today, when Robert Kennedy announced he's not running for the Democratic nomination, not anymore. Peter Baker, his new book, The Divider, posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. Coming up, we'll speak to Congressman Adam Smith on the situation on the Middle East. He's the ranking Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee. We'll be right back.
The Michael Medved Show.
Join your champions for free market reform in Washington State, Washington Policy Center, at their annual dinner event October 13th, featuring the minds of the Babylon Bee, Seth Dillon and Kyle Mann.
You don't see race?
Because that's a microaggression.
No. So you do see race?
Because that's a microaggression.
Yeah, that's a microaggression.
Yeah.
Also featuring national security expert Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
How do we fight the 72% of millennials in America who believe that socialism is a good thing? Ask them, where has it worked?
Details at WPCDinner.com. That's WPCDinner.com.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. This is $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly 2 decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, it is a pleasure to welcome back Representative Adam Smith, who serves Washington State's 9th District. He is the senior Democrat, the Democratic leader of the House Armed Services Committee. He issued a very strong statement this morning, and I thank you for that, Congressman Smith, on the terror attack in Israel. I vehemently condemn today's attack against the people of Israel by the terrorist group Hamas. It is becoming increasingly apparent This was a well-planned and coordinated attack intent on killing civilians and causing as much destruction as possible. There is simply no justification for this type of cowardly and senseless assault. Congressman Smith, in a Congress that is so badly divided, split along partisan lines, even split within the Republican conference, and maybe even to some extent in the Democratic caucus, is this an issue where you feel that most of your colleagues see it from the same perspective?
Yeah, no, we will definitely be unified on this, bipartisan, bicameral. Look, I mean, there may be some differences of opinion on different aspects of Israeli policy, but we have to be united on the threat posed from extremist groups like Hamas, and we have to be united on the point that I made on television over the weekend. The reason Israel makes many of those decisions is because the people around them have failed to recognize Israel's right to exist. You know, they are constantly trying to eliminate the entire state of Israel, and Israel has to navigate that world. And I think there's very strong bipartisan recognition of that reality that Israel is dealing with.
Are you somebody who is hopeful at all about the Biden initiative to try to bring Israel and Saudi Arabia together? Do you hopeful at all that that initiative can survive what is happening now?
Yes, I am. And look, and that too was a bipartisan thing. I mean, obviously, the Trump administration was very involved in the Abraham Accords. You know, several nations, the UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, I'm forgetting somebody at the moment, you know, normalized relationships with Israel at that point. And I think that's still where Saudi Arabia, and well, that was actually supposed to go on a CODEL to Saudi Arabia and Oman and Kuwait as three other countries that were trying to get to join the Abraham Accords. They still want to go there. Look, Iran helped push this attack precisely because they wanted to upset that process. They see peace between Israel and the Arab world as a threat to their goal of destabilizing the entire region. And I believe that even in the face of this, Saudi Arabia and others understand that. And they understand that the path forward is to make peace with Israel, to deal with the much larger threat from Iran.
And what is the best way? It now appears Yoav Gallant, the Israeli defense minister, made a statement about a total siege. There seems to be determination to prevent Hamas from returning to power in Gaza. Do you think that's an appropriate war aim? Is it an achievable goal at all?
I have not gotten the level of brief that I would need to be able to answer that question intelligently. You know, obviously going forward, that's one of the big issues. You know, how does Israel respond to this? How does the U.S. respond to this? How does the region respond to this? And certainly, it's not easy. There's not an obvious answer. So I think we're going to have to work together and look at this and figure out what is, you know, in the best interest of long-term peace. Now, you know, and I certainly getting Hamas out of there would be enormously helpful. And that's one of the great tragedies of this. Look, I have enormous sympathy for the Palestinian people. I mean, ever since the end of World War One and the ultimate collapse of the British Mandate, that region has been roiled by conflict, and the Palestinian people have suffered, you know, more than anybody in that conflict. But as long as Hamas and Islamic Jihad are their leaders, there's no pathway out of that. I mean, there needs to be more sensible leadership in Palestine. How we get there, it's been very, very difficult. So I don't know yet what my opinion would be on the right way to respond to this, but certainly weakening Hamas has to be part of it.
Speaking of a way out, we just went through a situation where the Speaker of the House was removed. If you and some of your mainstream Democratic colleagues, I think all it would have taken would be five of you out of 212. If you had voted even present, wouldn't that have kept Speaker McCarthy in his chair?
Well, clearly, Democrats could have voted. It's a complicated little math problem there. If we were going to vote present, probably would have taken 10 members to vote present instead of 5. But look, you have to understand this, and I just say this, you know, I'm not necessarily being judgmental at the moment, but Speaker McCarthy governed as a MAGA extremist and never once reached across to Democrats on an issue. Now, as it happens, his, you know, extreme wing of his party is a little unpredictable, a little unstable. So even as he continually thought he was giving them absolutely everything they wanted, a few of them, and it was interesting, it was always a different, slightly different group of 6 or 7, you know, or 5 who disagreed, but they quibbled with some aspect of it. So he wasn't able to implement that policy. And even as we were leading up to the vote for Speaker, Speaker McCarthy made it clear, A, he had no intention whatsoever of working with Democrats. He said that over and over again. And B, he was very dishonest, you know, blaming Democrats for pushing us to the brink of a shutdown and claiming that we wanted the shutdown, even though every single one of us, save one who had a particular complaint about Ukraine, Democrats voted for keeping the government open. So, you know, if Speaker McCarthy at any point had tried to reach out to Democrats, he'd still be Speaker. But he made it clear that he wasn't going to do that. So Democrats had no interest in keeping that type of person in as Speaker.
Would your first choice for Speaker, well, your first choice would probably be Hakeem Jeffries, right? The Democratic leader.
Yes, indeed.
Any Republican you think should be Speaker?
Look, I think there's a wide range of Republicans that could be a capable Speaker. Now, certainly, I've worked with Steve Scalise. I've worked with Jim Jordan on a variety of different things from time to time. The point is, whoever it is that person going to attempt to work in a bipartisan way? Are they going to follow Speaker McCarthy's model of simply trying to appease the most extreme wings of their party? You know, that's the issue. And on Ukraine aid, you know, Speaker McCarthy had no intention of giving us a vote on that. To the extent he said he was going to do it, he was going to link it to a border security bill that he can pass. So, look, there's any number of, and by the way, let me just be clear, I'm not saying that the Republicans have to do everything Democrats want. Clearly not. They're in charge. But at some point, they got to try to talk to us.
Adam Smith, Congressman from the 9th District in Washington, appreciate your service and your joining us on the show. We'll be right back with more on the Middle East coming up.
The Michael Medved Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA News Update. A fierce conflict continues between Israel and the Palestinian militant group Hamas following coordinated attacks launched over the weekend. Monday night, a spokesperson for the Israel Defense Forces provided an update.
Currently, in southern Israel, for the last few hours, we've been able to finally reclaim and regain control over southern Israel.
The death toll has climbed to nearly 1,200. A vote is scheduled this week to determine the next House Speaker. Ohio Republican Jim Jordan and House Majority Leader Steve Scalise have both thrown their hats into the ring. Following 2 days of discussions and meetings, the vote may take place as early as Wednesday. The United Auto Workers strike has entered its 25th day. Today, union members at the Volvo Group-owned Mack Trucks joined the picket lines following a rejection of a proposed contract agreement. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there was a statement this morning from one of the presidential candidates. Virtually all of the presidential candidates on the Republican side gave very strong statements. Ron DeSantis in particular, but actually all of them. Mike Pence gave a strong statement. Nikki Haley gave a strong statement. Republicans gave a strong statement in support of Israel. And presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who had his big announcement today, which we'll play you some of, he also condemned the Hamas terror attack in Israel that has left scores of Israeli men, women, and children dead and wounded. He said, "This ignominious, unprovoked, and barbaric attack on Israel must be met with world condemnation and unequivocal support for the Jewish state's right to self-defense. We must provide Israel with whatever it needs to defend itself," said Robert Kennedy Jr. "As president, I'll make sure that our policy is unambiguous so that the enemies of Israel will think long and hard before attempting aggression." I applaud the strong statements of support from the Biden White House for Israel in her hour of need. However, the scale of these attacks makes it likely that Israel will need to wage a sustained military campaign to protect its citizens. Statements of support are fine, but we must follow through with unwavering, resolute, and practical action. America must stand by our ally throughout this operation and beyond as it exercises its sovereign right to self-defense. That's as clear and positive a statement as you could possibly want. And I was thinking about this, of course, because this is personal with Robert Kennedy. Now, he didn't say that, but I can say it. His father was a victim of Palestinian terrorism. Yes, Sirhan Sirhan wrote in his diary, he was Palestinian, proudly Palestinian, and he wrote in his diary that he killed Robert Kennedy because he had talked about sending F-16s to Israel. He had done that in a presidential debate that he had with Eugene McCarthy before the California primary. And I don't know how much sense it makes to compare Robert Kennedy Jr., who really has very little in common with his father politically. But maybe that is part of his inheritance being very clear on this issue. It also goes to another point that people are talking about. There's used to be a longstanding Democratic fear that Robert Kennedy running as an independent, or basically anyone running as an independent, would steal votes away from Biden. But the strong rhetoric that you just heard from Robert Kennedy, that's more appealing to Republicans than to Democrats, which is why the polling showing him running as an independent candidate, which he announced today that he would do, the polling shows him having overwhelming approval from Republicans and overwhelming disapproval from Democrats, which might be one of the reasons he wanted to get out of the Democratic primary. Another reason might be so that he can find a better technical director, sound man, somebody to... Do you remember his first announcement of candidacy? It went on and on and on like a Trump speech. But it was an hour and 48 minutes. It was almost 2 hours long. It was really gargantuan. This one wasn't that long, but it had a misfunction, a teleprompter misfunction, just like the first speech did, and it sounded like this. Clip 22.
I need my speech. You can't read anything. You can't read anything. What? Yeah. It's upside down.
Cut that down, Jim.
It's upside down.
Okay, he may be getting a signal here from the powers that be. I mean, whoever controls the ups and downs, or upside downs, for that matter, of teleprompters. This wasn't a good sound. It sounded better when he finally got the teleprompter fixed and he made the big announcement of his plans. Listen.
This country is ready for a history-making change. They are ready to reclaim their freedom, their independence. And that's why I'm here today. I'm here to declare myself an independent candidate.
Okay, he is dropping out of the Democratic Party and primary and declaring himself an independent candidate for president. The idea of Robert Kennedy Jr. actually winning the presidency was always remote, but seems particularly remote here. His goal clearly is going to be to get beyond 15%, because if he does, he gets to be in the debates. And if he's in the debates, especially with two elderly and unpredictable performers like Trump and Biden, well, it could be complicated and interesting. Remember, it was Ross Perot actually was judged to have won the first debate against George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Clinton. In any event, speaking of Bill Clinton, a member of his cabinet is also a former president of Harvard, Larry Summers. And he just ripped his old alma mater that he attended and that he was president of because of their position or lack of a position on the Middle East. They report in Mediaite, while Harvard's administration has yet to release a statement on the mass murder, rape, and kidnapping of Jews in Israel, 31 student organizations at the prestigious Ivy League school signed onto a shocking letter asserting that Israel was entirely responsible for the barbaric deeds committed against its citizens. The gunning down of civilians at a concert, kidnapping of children, mass rape, that went unmentioned in the letter, which called on, quote, the Harvard community to take action to stop the ongoing annihilation of Palestinians. And nearly 50 years of Harvard affiliation, writes Larry Summers, former president of Harvard, I've never been as disillusioned and alienated as I am today. The silence from Harvard's leadership so far, coupled with a vocal and widely reported student group's statement blaming Israel solely, has allowed Harvard to appear at best neutral toward acts of terror against the Jewish state of Israel. And who were those student organizations? This is what they're not saying in most accounts. It's a ridiculous statement. That's true. But the groups that signed on to that statement, it's a list of some 20 different student groups, including the Harvard College Pakistan Student Association, the Harvard Divinity School Muslim Association, the Harvard Graduate Students for Palestine, the Harvard Islamic Society, Harvard Law School Justice for Palestine, Harvard Divinity School Students for Justice in Palestine, Harvard Jews for Liberation, Harvard Kennedy School Bangladesh Caucus, Harvard Kennedy School Muslim Caucus, and it goes on. But you get the idea. Not entirely representative of a diverse student body. We will be right back.
It's upside down.
Cut that out.
It's upside down.
The Michael Medved Show.
Join your free market champions, Washington Policy Center, for their annual dinner event on October 13th, featuring national security expert Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
That hardly makes me James Bond.
And the minds of the Babylon Bee, Seth Dillon and Kyle Mann, whose comedy is widely praised.
And that's why the funniest parody comedy now is coming out of the Babylon Bee.
Except on the hard left.
They have scores of articles mocking AOC for being childishly dumb. But that doesn't make any sense.
Details at WPCDinner.com. That's WPCDinner.com.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for Amfed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends, Nick Grovich and Company, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call Amfed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
On the Michael Medved show, the announcement by an official spokesperson for Hamas that they are going to start executing civilian hostages that they took from Israel on live TV. That announcement, I think, should for anyone clarify that we are not dealing here with protest. We are not dealing here with simply trying to make a statement of nationalism. We're dealing here with evil of a monstrous variety. This is the way the announcement from Hamas, and again, it has not been either denied or renounced. It's been affirmed. And this is the spokesperson for Hamas about their plans. Clip 4.
To put an end to this, from this moment on, we announce that any targeting of innocent civilians without warning will be met, regretfully to say, by executing one of the hostages in our custody, and we will be forced to broadcast this execution.
And we will be forced to broadcast the execution. And again, what that indicates is that for every IDF airstrike that hits a civilian in Gaza, and again, they're who knows if it's a civilian, because so many of the targets of Israeli airstrikes have been very specifically chosen who are officials of Islamic Jihad, the partner of Hamas or Hamas itself. I mean, really? This is going to be how they're going to conduct this campaign? And part of what they're doing, according to a lot of the analysts of what is going on here, is forcing Netanyahu, who is still the prime minister. There's talk in Israel about forming a national unity coalition, which might reflect the coming together in the country that my brother Jonathan was talking about when he was on, and that is visible and more visible to people around the world. But with all of that, the the idea of threats of any casualties that might come from airstrikes is an indication of why, despite his expressed reluctance to do it, there may be, with this mass mobilization, a ground invasion. Israel has called up a record 300,000 reservists to serve in the fight, which has so far stopped short of a full ground incursion into Gaza. Israel's El Al airline said Monday that it will fly reservists back to Israel to fight Hamas, Reuters reported. Israel appears to be deliberating on how to escalate retaliation in order to neutralize, if not eliminate, the enemy. Some former military leaders have been urging Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to put boots on the ground in Gaza. Itamar Ya'ar, who is a former deputy head of the Israeli National Security Council, told the Financial Times, quote, "I don't see any way the Israeli government will be able to avoid some kind of ground operation. How big? Where? What the timing is, I don't know. But I don't see a situation where we can do everything from the air. It will have to be a combination of ground, air, and sea." Amir Avivi, and in fact, when they talk about sea, Yoav Gallant, who we talked about before, who's the very popular, well-respected Israeli defense minister, is a sailor. He was part of the Israeli Navy before he went into the overall leadership of the military. The Amir Avivi, who is former deputy commander of the Gaza division of Israel's military, said an invasion of Gaza is the only way for Israel to have an effective deterrence strategy for the foreseeable future. "We need to conquer Gaza, or at least most of it, and destroy Hamas," he told the publication. "We cannot continue to do the things that we did before that are not working." And the idea of destroying Hamas, you may think, well, this is impossible. How can you destroy an entire organization like this? Well, Hamas took over in a violent revolution the Palestinian Authority, which occasionally cooperates and certainly has cooperated in recent times on suppressing terrorism and avoiding terrorism and security in Israel. The Palestinian Authority was originally in charge of Gaza when there was the disengagement in 2005. And then they had an election where Hamas won the election narrowly and then seized complete power. Demonstrators clashed in downtown Kirkland, Washington. And again, it's amazing to see this footage. Kirkland's a nice town. It's a pleasant suburban city, very elegant, beautiful lakefront on Lake Washington. And the demonstrators met in downtown Kirkland, apparently 200 pro-Palestinian activists and about 100 pro-Israel activists. But listen to the chant by the pro-Palestinian faction. This is clip 12.
From the river to the sea!
From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Well, there's a nation in between the river and the sea. And the nation is called Israel. It has a total population of just about 10 million, of whom just about 8 million are Jewish. And so when they talk about from the river to the sea, you're not talking about a two-state solution, are you? It is about It's a common chant for those who demand a state of Palestine from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, which would, of course, erase the state of Israel and its people. If their intent wasn't clear from that message, they were considerably more direct when chanting, "We do not want two states. We want 1948. And long live the Intifada." The Intifada, of course, was the previous very violent, very bloody Palestinian uprising in the early parts of this century. And 1948, we did not want two states, we want 1948. 1948 was the year that Israel was officially recognized in the world. It was actually mandated 1947, a UN vote, and then the independence was declared as the British were pulling out in May of 1948. Coming up on the Michael Medved Show, we're going to be continuing the conversation. We're joined by Michael Rubin of American Enterprise Institute, who writes that Israel must remove Hamas from the Gaza Strip. How do you do that? Well, part of the idea is there have been a number of analysts who have pointed out that Hamas is not all that popular among its own citizens. And then there's also a question that we'll talk about concerning Turkey's role and war against Iran. What is the purpose or potential of that aircraft carrier battle group that is heading to the Eastern Mediterranean? We will get to that and to much more. Also, YouTube and Bono taking a courageous position on the Middle East, actually. Not something that all rock stars are willing to do. We will get to that as well in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Discover Tuscany in California at Allegretto Vineyard Resort by Ayers. Located halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles, Allegretto Vineyard Resort is nestled in the heart of Paso Robles wine country and evokes the character and charm of an Italian estate. Voted as one of the best wine country hotels by USA Today, indulge in memorable experiences as you tilt back a glass of award-winning Allegretto wines. Savor a locally farmed and foraged cuisine at Cello Restaurante and Bar while enjoying soothing spa treatments from the boutique spa Allegretto. Experience the handcrafted joy today with rates starting at $209 per night, Sunday through Thursday stays throughout the month of August. Use promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. Book your Tuscan-inspired getaway today with promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. A-L-L-E-G-R-E-T-T-O Resort.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.